now my master has given to me through the eyes. This is the Bhajanab Mohe Nainansiyo Gurudeva on page 224. I wander to door after door. No one cares for me. I neither understand myself as living or dead. My master has made me alive. I am the ignorant one. I don't know anything. I don't recognize the glory of the master. He has converted me from dirt into gold. I don't see anything with my eyes. The night is dark and there's no way. My master has illuminated me. Satguru has come to my home. He has awakened my sleeping fortune. A job has been taken up by Kripal Satguru. Now my master has given to me through the eyes. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 224.
Abhamohe Nainanasya Guru Diya. Abhamohe Nainanasya Guru Diya. Dara Dara Firati Puche Nakoi Na Jivata Na Samaju Mohi. Dada dada fiadati, puche na koi, na jivatana, samaju mohi. Mohe, guru ne jivata kia. Mohe, guru ne jivata kia. Abha mohe. Nainanasya Guru Diya. Abhamohe Nainanasya Guru Diya. Me anjana kachu na janu. Guru ki mehama na pahi chanu. Me anjana kachu na janu. Guru ki mehama na pahi chanu. Mohe mati sa kanchana kia. Mohe mati sa kanchana kia. Abhamohe Nainanasya Guru Diya. Abhamohe Nainanasya Guru Diya. Nena mena sujata mohi. Raja anjari rasa chanahi. Nena mena sujata mohi. Rata anjari rasa chanahi. Mohe guru ne roshana kia. Mohe guru ne roshana kia. Abha mohe Nainanasya Guru Diya. Abha mohe Nainanasya Guru Diya. Murkre me Sacha Guru Aye. Suche Hue Paga Jagaye. Mure Gre me Sacha Guru Aye. Suche Hue Paga Jagaye. Achai
I wander to door after door. No one cares for me. I neither understand myself as living or dead. My master has made me alive. Now my master has given to me through the eyes. Today I want to read a talk Sanchi gave on the first day, would have been June 1st, 1977, at the ashram in Vermont. So the first full day of this day here featured the blessings of Samhain. Steady downpour of rain came all day. It was impossible to hold satsang as scheduled. The only available place was outdoors. There were three times as many people as could fit into the largest available room, so the master held satsang three times that day. Three full-length satsangs, an hour each, one after the other, for one-third of the sangha at each time, so that no one would miss out. Later in the stay, a tent was erected, and satsang was held there when it rained. All of those satsangs, which the master delivered with great good humor and tremendous power, were extraordinary. But the first one, which was later published with the title Only Devotion and Love, was especially extraordinary. It has remained in my heart ever since. Reading, of course, from my book, Stumbling Toward God, The Years with a Jain. In the court of the Lord, only devotion and love are counted. Only devotion and love. The Lord is pleased by devotion. Paltu Sahib was a famous Mahatma in a place called Ayodhya. He was a merchant. His family pundit's name was Janki Das, and he was a very spiritually minded person. Paltu Sahib had the yearning to realize God right from his childhood. So once he asked Janki Das, "What you have learned from the Vedas and Shastras, and what you are preaching to others, are you doing that? Have you realized that God?" Paltu Sahib thought that since this man is talking about God, it means that he has known God or has realized God. Janki Das was a very good soul. He was born in a pundit family, but still he didn't feel good about doing the business of a pundit because it was a deceiving business. So he told Paltu Sahib, "Truly speaking, I am not impressed by this family business, because I am very much confused. What I am telling people to do, I'm not doing. And I also have a yearning to realize God." So he joined Paltu Sahib, and they both started searching for a man who would help them to realize God. Once they heard that a famous Mahatma, Gobind Das, had come. Both of them went to see him, thinking that he was a very good Mahatma. People were coming to him. That meant he would have realized God. But when they approached Gobind Das, he said, "I only have initiation of two words, and that is not the complete goal. God is not there. God is still ahead. I am still searching. I am visiting one village after another." He also wanted to realize God, even though he was a Mahatma of a lower stage. So now there were three people who had the yearning to realize God. They decided that they should go in different directions, And whoever found anyone who could help them realize God, that one would learn from him. And whoever got that knowledge would come back and teach the other two people also. So they all began to search. Our master used to say, demand and supply is the law of nature. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Nature always quenches the thirst of the thirsty and always supplies food for the hungry. At that time, there was no living master in the body. So Bhikkhu Sab was ordered from Sachkhand, although he was not then in the body, to go and give initiation to one of them. He appeared as a man and initiated Gobindas, who was taken right up to Sachkhand. In that way, he became a saint from the very beginning of his initiation. Then he initiated Paltu Sahib and Janki Das. So Paltu Sahib's guru was Gobindas, and after his initiation, he meditated, and he also became a perfect saint and started preaching Nam. At that time in India, there was the Viragi sect, which believed in idol worship. Many people followed them because they were teaching people to go into the temples and do the worship of God. Paltu Sahib spoke fearlessly about God, and he was giving the knowledge of Nam. Many people were attracted to him. He feared no one. When people became attracted to him, the Viragi people were afraid. Now he's going to stop our business. They opposed him so much that they burnt him alive because they were envious of him. In this small hymn, Paltu Sahib explains to us by giving very beautiful examples that in the court of God, only he receives a place who has devotion and love for God. In that court, there is only love and devotion. God is pleased with him who loves him and is devoted to him. Now the question arises, how can we have love and devotion for someone whom we have never seen? We can love only that person whom we can see and feel something for. We have never seen God. How can we claim we are loving God when we have not even seen him? We are not loving our fellow beings whom we daily see and with whom we deal. If we cannot maintain that love, how can we have love for that God whom we have never seen? The Lord didn't accept delicious food, but gladly ate the poor food of the Shudra. Now Paltu Sahib says that God loves only devotion. When he comes into this world assuming the body of a saint, he never looks to people's caste or social position, whether someone is a king or a beggar. In ancient times, the town of Delhi was called Mastinapur, and the Pandavas and Kauravas were ruling there. And they started fighting with each other. Lord Krishna wanted to go there to mediate between them and stop the war. They were cousins, and Lord Krishna thought that if they fight, the world will experience a great loss, because they were the entire ruling family of India. Duryodhana was king at that time, and he was very proud of his kingship. He thought, I am a very important person, so Lord Krishna will come directly to my house. But there was one servant or Shudra named Vidur. He was a devotee of Lord Krishna, and he also had the desire that Lord Krishna should come to his house. And even though Duryodhana was proud and thought, Lord Krishna will come to my house, Krishna didn't go to his house. Instead, he went to the house of Vidur. Vidur was not at home when he arrived. Vidur's wife was there, but she was bathing. When Lord Krishna called the name Vidur from outside the house, she was mad in the love of Lord Krishna, so much so that she even forgot to put clothes on her body. She came out of the bath completely naked. She was not even aware of her body. Lord Krishna told her, "Crazy woman, you're not even aware that you're naked. Go and put on your clothes." Lord Krishna came into the house and sat there, waiting for Vidur to come. Vidur's wife wanted to serve Lord Krishna by giving him food, but there was nothing in the house except one banana. She took that banana out from the cupboard and peeled it, but instead of giving the fruit to Lord Krishna, she gave him a skin and threw away the fruit. But Lord Krishna didn't complain and he ate it. When Vidur came in, he saw that his wife had given the skin to Lord Krishna and had thrown away the fruit. He rebuked her. "Have you left your senses? What are you doing? You have given the skin to God and have thrown away the fruit?" She brought another banana and he peeled it, gave the fruit to Lord Krishna and threw away the peel. But Lord Krishna replied, "Vidur, the sweetness that I had in that peel is not in this fruit." Then she cooked vegetables for Lord Krishna but forgot to put salt in them. Lord Krishna ate that dish and never complained. But when Vidur ate that food, he was very upset. He said, "What has happened to you? Have you gone mad? First you gave the skin to Lord Krishna, and now you're not putting salt in the vegetables? What's wrong with you?" But Lord Krishna told him the next day, "Oh, Vidur, you don't know the sweetness of that vegetable which she made for me. That vegetable was sweeter than kheer, rice pudding. She made that vegetable with so much love. And when I ate that vegetable made with love, it was very helpful to me. I spent all night in meditation. Because of that love and the sweetness of the vegetable, I was able to meditate for a long time." Next morning, when Duryodhana came to know that Lord Krishna had stayed overnight at a Shudra's house, he was very upset. He spoke with Lord Krishna very sharply. "You don't like our palaces? I know you went there to eat very sweet, delicious food, because they are very sweet things for you. But you didn't remember that they are of low caste. They are not people of our caste." But Namdev says, "God never looks at the caste. He looks only at the love and devotion. No matter how much they practiced japa and tapa and were regular in worship, still he ate the berries of Shivri, looking at which all the rishis and munis wept." Now Paltu Sahib gives a good historical example. Japa means repetition. In some religions, people believe that if they repeat some words or prayers, they're doing the devotion of God. In Hinduism, people get up in the morning and they recite the Bhagavad Gita or any other holy book. The Sikh people believe that only those who recite Japji Sahib in the morning are Sikhs. They think that people who are not doing that are not Sikhs. In the Muslim religion, they repeat the words of namaz, the fixed prayer, and in that way, they think they are doing the devotion of God. Tapas are austerities. Very often I have told how I also did austerities, including the austerity of the five fires, which starts in the afternoon when the sun is in full bloom. Sitting in between the four fires and under the fifth fire of the sun, people repeat some descriptive name of God and think that they are doing his devotion. But Paltu Sahib says he can't be achieved or realized by doing these japas and tapas. No one can please him by doing these things because they're not doing anything real. There's a place named Pampasur in India, which was believed in the Silver Age to be a very good place for meditation. Many yogis and munis were going there to do their spiritual practices. In that place, a bilni, a very low caste woman, was also living. The yogis there came to know that Lord Rama was going to visit that place. And since all of them were very proud of their japas and tapas, they were doing these practices daily. They were sure that Lord Rama would come to their houses. On the other hand, that Bilni, that low-caste woman, whose name was Shivri, had very much love. She is very devoted to Lord Rama. She thought, if God comes to my home, I don't have anything to give him to eat. I will go and bring some berries from the forest. She picked some very good-looking berries. But when she came back home, she thought, if the berries are bitter and Lord Rama eats them, that will spoil his taste and will not be good for him. She thought that she should taste them ahead of time to make sure they were sweet. She tasted all the berries, but in her love and devotion for Lord Rama, she forgot that according to Hindu ritual law, she was contaminating them. When Lord Rama came there, he didn't go to the monasteries or the homes of the rishis or munis, but he went to that Bilni's place, the small broken hut of that Bilni, and he ate that contaminated food. So here Paltu Sahib says that Lord Rama came to Shivri, to her broken hut, and he ate those contaminated berries with so much love for her that all those rishis and munis who were proud of their practices started weeping because God was not pleased with them. There was one pond in that place, the water of which was polluted. The rishis and munis were so proud of their practices that they did not allow that old lady to take water from there because they understood her as a low-caste person. They requested Lord Rama to remove the dirt of that water by blessing it. It was thought that if a genuinely holy person put his feet in polluted water, it would be cleaned up. Rama wanted to teach a lesson to them, and he wanted to break their egoism. So he told them, you are very good Mahatmas, you are doing a lot of practices. You should bless that water. You should put your feet in that water. They did, but still the dirt was there. Then Lord Rama himself put his feet into it, but still the dirt was there. So Lord Rama said, no, I also can't do it. But let's try that old lady. So she was invited. And when she put her feet in the water, it became very pure. In that way, he taught them a lesson, that in the court of God, only love and devotion is counted. And God is pleased only with them who have love for him and who are always devoted to him. Yudhishthira performed yajna, in which he collected many things. The Lord crushed everybody's pride. Without Supach, the bell didn't ring. Paltu Sahib is referring to a beautiful story from the Mahabharata. When the Mahabharata war came to an end, Yudhishthira and the other Pandavas thought, we have made many people orphans, and in that way we have sinned. We should do something to remove our sins. So Lord Krishna told them to perform the Ashwamedh Yajna, in which one horse is set free and the army follows it. The owner of that horse becomes the owner of all the land over which the horse has traveled. When that is determined, he can perform a certain type of austerity. After doing all this, when that austerity was performed, Lord Krishna told the Pandavas to invite all the sadhus to a feast and said, your yajna will be complete when you hear a big bell in the sky. Till then you should not think that you have performed your yajna very well. The Pandavas didn't hear the bell ringing in the sky, so they came to Lord Krishna and asked him, Maharaji, what's the reason? We've done everything, but still we don't hear the big bell in the sky. Why? Lord Krishna says, this is because one sadhu didn't come. You should search for him. They investigated, but they found that everybody was invited and everybody had eaten the food. They were confused. and they asked Lord Krishna to find out which sadhu had not come there. Using his yogic powers, Lord Krishna saw there was one sadhu named Supach, who was of a very low caste. He had not been invited. He was the only perfect sadhu of that time. The Pandavas were very proud that they had won the country, and they were great kings, so they sent their servants to invite that Supach sadhu. But he refused that invitation. Then the Pandavas went to him in person, inviting him. "Please, sadhu, will you please come to our home and have the food? Until you come and eat, our yajna will not be complete." Supach replied, "This is my condition. I only eat food at a place where I can be given the fruit of 101 Ashvamedh yajnas." They replied, "You're talking about 101 yajnas, but we can't even finish one of them. How can we give you the fruit of 101? They went back to their home disappointed. Again, they begged Lord Krishna to find some solution. But he replied, "I can't help you in any way." So Draupadi, who was the wife of all the Pandavas, was very clever and she thought of something. The next morning she bathed, and after becoming very clean, she walked there to invite the sadhu herself. But the sadhu replied, "You know my condition. Until I get the fruit of 101 yajanas, I will not come to eat your food." But Draupadi was very clever, and she replied, "Maharaji, I have heard this from another perfect Mahatma, that if you go to have the darshan of any perfect saint, you get the fruit of 100 asphalade yajanas for each of your steps. And I have walked more than 100 steps to get here. So you can take the fruit of one step and please come to have food." This was a very clever answer, and Supach came to eat that food. Now Draupadi was an excellent cook, and whenever a competition was held for cooking, she always won. She made many types of delicious food, and she gave it all to that sadhu. But you know, sadhus are very simple, and they don't like to eat many kinds of dishes, and they don't want to eat a lot of delicious food. So when all the different food was presented, Supach took a little bit of food from each dish, and he combined it all and ate it. Draupadi, who is a queen after all, thought, "I have made all these different kinds of dishes, some sweet, some sour, some very good taste. But this sadhu, because he's low caste, he doesn't have any appreciation for that. That's why he's combined all the sweet and sour things and is eating them that way. If he'd been a high caste man, he would have known better." And when this kind of pride or egoism came in her mind, it spoiled all the effort she had made. And the result was the bell was not heard from the sky. So again the Pandavas asked Lord Krishna, "Now what's the reason why the bell isn't rung?" Lord Krishna told them to ask Draupadi. And Draupadi, who always told the truth, realized her mistake and that in her mind she had insulted the sadhu. So she again made the food and again she served it. And this time when that sadhu Supach ate it, the bell was heard and the yajna was complete. So Paltusab says, in his home, only love, faith, and devotion is counted. Looking at the love, faith, and devotion of Draupadi, that sadhu decided to come and have food. And looking at the repentance of Draupadi and the love and devotion of God in the sadhu, the yajna of the Pandavas was completed. Paltu, no one should be proud of his high caste. Only love and devotion are counted in the court of the Lord. Now Paltusab says, if you have this thought in your mind, that you are a very high caste, or you are a rich man, and that's why you will get God, or if anyone has this thought, that he is a low one and not a wealthy one, so he cannot do the devotion of God, they shouldn't think like that, because God is pleased by love and devotion only. Guru Nanak says, the place where the accounts of our deeds are going to be checked, at that place neither our body, nor our caste, nor our name or fame will go. Bulisha says, your caste and your name and fame will remain in this world, and only your deeds will be counted there. Nobody is going to tell you, you are a Sikh, so you come in the first row, or you are a Christian, so you go back, or you are a Muslim, so you come from the other door. This is not the case, because only our actions are going to be checked there. Kabir Sahib says, nobody is going to see your caste. One who is meditating on the name of God, only he will get God. And those who are doing his devotion, they become his form. And I read a brief section from another talk which Sanchi gave at the Underground Room in April 1989, which I was there. My memories of that stay are totally bound up with his love and with the book that he was writing while he talked with us. That's the book called The Rescue, The Vows of Bhai Gurdas. I saw him a great deal, I meditated a great deal, and I loved every minute of the stay. And its conclusion, the talk that he gave before you all went down into the underground room, where he had meditated full time for 2 years, drove home as powerfully as it could be driven the message of forgiveness, that this is what masters do. They forgive. They don't judge. They don't punish. They forgive. This is what he said on that last day. Master Kripal Singh Ji used to say that you shouldn't give food to your body until you have given food to your soul. He used to say that the food of our soul is meditation. He also used to say, no doubt truth is above all, but higher still is true living. A brief hymn regarding King Janak is presented to you. King Janak was a very reputable king in India. And along with his being a king and doing his work as a king, he was also a great meditator, a perfect saint. Even great rishis like the sons of Vedvyas had gone to him and had taken him as their master. He attended to all his responsibilities as a king, but at the same time he also did his devotion. Earlier I have told how King Janak did his meditation. Many masters have said a lot about the way he became perfect in his meditation. At his end time, when he left this world, the Lord of Judgment himself came down to escort him as Dharma personified. And as he was being taken to the higher planes, on the way he heard screams and cries. So King Janak asked the Lord of Judgment, what is all this screaming and crying that's going on? The Lord of Judgment replied, these are the screams and cries of those souls who, when given the human birth, did not utilize it for the purpose for which it was given to them. They did all kinds of bad deeds. Now they are being punished in the hells. They are screaming and crying because they are getting punishment from the angels of death. Now you know that those who do the devotion of Nam become very compassionate and have a lot of mercy and grace for others. Whenever they hear the cries or screams of the people, their hearts melt. So King Janak's heart melted and he felt very compassionate towards them. He said, why don't you release them all from the punishment of hell? Lord of Judgment replied, I am a child of the indestructible being, Almighty God, and I am under orders only to do judgment. It is not in my capacity to release them. I have to give them punishment for the bad deeds they have done. I can't release them on my own. So then King Janak offered, well, whatever you want me to pay for them, I'm ready to pay. But you should release them, because I don't want them to go through all that punishment. So King Janak offered his meditations. He placed on one side of the balance a little bit of the Nam that he had meditated on. And on the other side of the balance, he placed all the souls who were in hell. But still, the side of the balance where the Nam was placed was heavier. So it is said that just by giving a little bit of the fruit of the meditation of King Janak, he was able to release all the souls from hell. Those who do the devotion of Nam get so much power and so much grace that even if just one person does the meditation of Nam, he can release millions of screaming and suffering souls from hell. Master Kripal used to say, what a man has done, a man can do. It is not that only King Janak could do the meditation and we can't do it. He used to say that we have also been given the same Nam. We have been connected with the same Nam. And we also can do the meditation of Nam, just as King Janak did. Kabir Sahib also said, if we can maintain the devotion all our life, which we had for the Master on the day we met him, if we go on doing our devotion like that, then what's the question of getting our own liberation? We can liberate a million others as well. Because you know that when we go to the Master on the first day, we have a lot of devotion and faith in him. So if, after receiving initiation, we can maintain that faith and devotion and go on doing the meditation as instructed by the Master, we can not only liberate our own selves, but we can also become a means of the liberation of millions of other suffering souls.
Guru Matan, Sant Matan, bada pyar de naal khol ke dasde hai ke jab oh Parmatma jeevan nu taarda hai, taarna chahunda hai, apne naal milana chahunda hai, oh shabad naam hi kire taar ke sansaar de vich aunda hai, kyunki agar oh Parmatma kise devi devte ya phreste di jeevan vich aave ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਨਾ ਸਕੀਏ ਅਗਰ ਕਿਸੇ ਉਹ ਗਾਂ ਮੱਝ ਕਿਸੇ ਪੰਛੀ ਦਾ ਚੋਲਾ ਤਾਰੇ ਤਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸਦੀ ਬੋਲੀ ਨਾ ਸਮਝ ਸਕੀਏ ਉਹ ਇਨਸਾਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਬਣ ਕੇ ਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਉਹ ਇਨਸਾਨੀ ਲੈਵਲ 'ਤੇ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਸੱਚਾਈ ਇਹ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਮਾਇਆ ਹੋਇਆ ਪੁਰਸ਼ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਸਦੀ ਖੂਬੀ ਨੂੰ ਅੱਛੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੇਖਦੇ ਹੈ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਅਗਰ ਜੇ ਤੂੰ ਗੁਰੂ ਦਾ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਕਰਨਾ ਹੈ ਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝਣਾ ਹੈ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਫੈਲੇ ਹੋਏ ਖਿਆਲ ਨੂੰ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਦੇ ਜ਼ਰੀਏ ਇਕੱਠਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਤੂੰ ਤੀਸਰੇ ਤਿਲ 'ਤੇ ਆ ਕੇ ਦੇਖ ਉਹ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਤੇਰੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਰੂਪ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੈ
ਸੋ ਵੈਰੀ ਬਰੀਫ ਹਿਮ ਆਫ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਇਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੈਜ਼ੈਂਟਡ ਟੂ ਯੂ ਇਨ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਹੈਜ਼ ਵੈਰੀ ਕਲੀਅਰਲੀ ਐਂਡ ਓਪਨਲੀ ਟੋਲਡ ਅਸ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦ ਸੰਤ ਮਤ ਹੀ ਟੈਲਸ ਅਸ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਨਐਵਰ ਗੋਡ ਵਾਂਟਸ ਟੂ ਸ਼ਾਵਰ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ ਔਨ ਐਨੀ ਸੋਲ ਵੈਨਐਵਰ He wants to become gracious on the souls. He comes in the form of the human being. In fact, the Nam assumes the body and comes in this world to shower grace on the souls. On the human level, he is a human being, but he is more than that. In fact, God himself comes in the human body. He comes in the human body because if he were to come in the body of gods and goddesses, he would not be able to see him. And if he were to come in the body of the animals and the other creatures, we would not be able to understand his language. Since we are human beings, he also comes in the human form so that we can understand him. And such souls, such great souls in whom God is manifested, they come in this world to save the souls, to shower grace on the souls. So here he says that if you want to see the reality of your master, you come to the eye center, you go in the within, because master on the human level is a human being. We cannot know His real glory unless we go in the within and see his real position over there.
Jab koi bachcha school de andar janda hai agar oh teacher jis de pass ho janda hai pehle din hi us nu dass de ke ehne pass karn nu 16 saal lagange jitniyan kitabaan lagniyan hai oh sariyan dass de ve तो बच्चे दे अंदर घबराहट पैदा हो जाएगी कि किस तरह मैं 16 साल लाऊंगा, फिर भी मैनू कोई ना कोई होर भी प्रैक्टिकल करना पड़ेगा और इतनी किताबा मैं किस तरह पढ़ सकता है, बच्चा घबरा जाएगा। लेकिन टीचर ऐसा नहीं कर देगे, वो की कर दे है ओनू हौली हौली पढ़ाना दसना शुरू कर देंगे है। बच्चे नू पता भी नहीं लगता कि 16 साल कद पूरे हो गए और बहुत सारिया किताबा उन्हें कद पढ़ लिया कि पढ़ लिया और जदों ओह तकड़ा हो जाता है आखिरी जमात के अंदर जाता है, जो टीचर होंगे हौली हौली अपनी लियाकत उन्होंने उपर जाहर करते जाते हैं, आखिर सारी लियाकत ही उन्होंने उत्ते जाहर करके उसनू अच्छी जिंदगी बिताने वाला इंसान बना देंगे है। इस तरह असि परमार्थ के अंदर भी एक बच्चे की तरह ही है, अनजाण है। अगर संत साडे अगे ये दसन कि वह सफर बड़ा लंबा है और बड़ी उसकी गहराई है, बड़ी तुसी दूर जाना है और थानू इतने साल लगनगे ता ही तुसी कामयाब हो सकोगे, असी घबरा जावांगे। संत महात्मा मालिक दे प्यारिया ने वह काम साढ़े उपर ही छड़ दिता है, वह जो असी जाने उन्होंने पास वह सानू अपना कमाया होया सिमरन देंदे है, जिदे अंदर उन्हां दी ताकत उन्हां दा तप त्याग कम करता है, उन्हां दी चार्जिंग कम करती है और वह सानू दसदे है कि अगर थोड़े अंदर सच्ची तड़फ होएगी, थोड़े अंदर बिरह होएगी, एक काम जिहड़ा सालां बद्धी करना है तुसी मिंटां दे अंदर भी कर सकते हो और वह जिवें जिवें सेवक तरक्की करता है वह भी अपनी उस तरह लियाकत जाहर करते रहिंदे है। अगर असी अस्थूल शरीर दे विच हैं तो साढ़े सामने साढ़े सवालों का जवाब देंदे है, सत्संग सुनाते हैं, साढ़े अंदर बिरे और तड़फ पैदा कर देंदे है और जब असी अस्थूल शरीर छड़दे हैं सूक्ष्म दे विच जाने हैं उत्थे वह अपना नूरी रूप साढ़े अंदर प्रगट कर देंदे है और जब असी इस तो अगे ब्रह्म दे विच जाने हैं वो शब्द रूप धार लेंदे है, शब्द रूप होकर साढ़े अंदर बातें करते हैं, गल्लां करते हैं, सवालों का जवाब देंदे है और जब असी अपनी आत्मा तो अस्थूल सूक्ष्म कारण तिने पड़दे ला के दसवें द्वार दे विच पहुंच जाने हैं उत्थे वो सार शब्द प्योर शब्द होके प्रगट हो जाते हैं। कहण का भाव इतना ही है कि जदों असी सचखंड पहुँचते हैं उत्थे वो कुल मालिक साढ़े सामने होके बैठ जाते हैं, फिर आत्मा नूं पता लगता है कि किस तरह एक कुजे दे अंदर समुंदर बंद सीगा, मैं इसकी कदर ना की, एक ममूली इंसान गरीब इंसान अपने आप नूं जाहर करके दुनिया दे विच जन्म बताया वक्त बताया इहदा कुल मालक सीगा। उत्थे पहुंचियां होईयां आत्मा उस गुरु की कदर नूं जानदी है कि गुरु की ताकत है, की ताकत लैके संसार विच आउंदा है, कुगियां कामां नूं की पता हुंदा है कि कूंजां किस देश विच आउंदियां है, जो कूंजां दे नाल उडारी लावे उन्हां नूं पता हुंदा है। संतां दी ताकत दा, संतां दे अंदर जो ताकत कम करदी है सिर्फ उन्हां लोकां नूं ही पता हुंदा है जो उन्हां दे नाल उडारी मार के उन्हां दे देश विच आत्मा जांदियां हन।
इफ द टीचर वुड टेल द चाइल्ड ऑन द वेरी फर्स्ट डे ही गोज़ टू द स्कूल दैट ही विल हैव टू स्टडी फॉर 16 इयर्स एंड ही विल हैव टू रीड सो मेनी बुक्स इन ऑर्डर टू गेट द मास्टर्स डिग्री, द चाइल्ड वुड गेट कंफ्यूज्ड एंड इट इज पॉसिबल दैट ही विल नॉट गो टू द स्कूल बिकॉज देन ही विल स्टार्ट वंडरिंग दैट हाउ it is going to be possible and he may also think that after finishing the studies he may have to go for practical training and in that way he will be confused, but the teachers don't do that. They do not tell the child on the very first day that they will have to work very hard, they will have to study so many books and come to school for so many years. They go on teaching the child gradually and as the child goes on understanding and as he becomes more receptive to the teacher, they go on revealing the qualities they have, the competence they have. In the same way, in the field of spirituality, in the knowledge of spirituality, we are like that child who has gone to the school on the very first day, and like the teacher, master also does not reveal everything on the very first day. He does not tell us that it is a long path, it's a very deep path, and you will have to work hard for so many years and then you will become successful. They do not tell us anything like that. They, in the beginning, they say that it is very easy path, And once we start doing it, gradually when we go on becoming receptive, they go on revealing their power more and more on us. And in this way, with their grace and our efforts, we become successful in this problem. On the human level, when we are sitting in the physical body, they also work through their physical body. And they give the satsangs, they talk to us, they answer our questions. When we go in the within, come at the eye center, and go in the within in the astral plane, we see the master over there in his astral form. And after that, when we go in the causal plane, we saw him sitting there, functioning through his causal body. Over there, he is radiant. We see his radiant form. He manifests that radiant form within us. And after that, when we go to Dasma Dwar, after removing physical, astral and causal covers, we see him in the form of the pure Shabad. And once we go beyond Dasma Dwar, once we go to Sachkant, being accompanied by him, only then we come to know the real glory, real position of the Master. Then we come to realize that it was like an ocean in a small pot. Then we come to know the greatness of the Master. That is why it is said that only those who have visited the Master in his home, only those who have visited the Master's real residence, real abode, know the importance and the glory of the Master. It is like the cuckoo birds. Only the cuckoo birds know about the value of the cuckoo birds. How can the other birds, those who are not flown with the cuckoo birds, know about from where they come? In the same way, only those who have been to the place from where the saints come know the glory and the importance of the saints. The other people do not have an idea that where the saints come from.
महिमा दर्शन राधा स्वामी वचन चौथा शब्द अठवां सार वचन पन्ना 41 गुरु का दर्श तुम देख रे
ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਾਸ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾਣ ਦੀ ਯੁਕਤੀ ਮਿਲਦੀ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਪਿਆਰ ਭਰੀ ਹਮਦਰਦੀ ਭਰੀ ਰਹਿਨਮਾਈ ਨਾਲ ਅਸੀਂ ਨਾਮ ਨਾਲ ਜੁੜ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਸੰਤ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੀ ਸਮਾ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਵੀ ਬਾਓ ਡਾਊਨ ਟੂ ਦ ਫਿਜ਼ੀਕਲ ਫਾਰਮ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਇਫ ਵੀ ਹੈਡ ਨਾਟ ਮੈਟ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਇਨ ਹਿਸ ਫਿਜ਼ੀਕਲ ਫਾਰਮ Who would have told us about going in the within and seeing his real form in the within? So that is why we appreciate and bow down to the physical form of the master. I had told earlier that by going in the company of the physical form of the master tells us the technique, the way of going in the within, and with their sympathetic guidance, we are able to go in the within and see their inner form.
आप कहते हैं अगर ये तो पूरा दर्शन करना है ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝਣਾ ਹੈ ਤੂੰ ਆਪਣੇ ਫੈਲੇ ਖਿਆਲ ਨੂੰ ਇਕੱਠਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਦੇ ਜ਼ਰੀਏ ਤੀਸਰੇ ਤਿਲ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾ ਫਿਰ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੇਗਾ ਕਿ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹ ਤੇਰੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਰੂਪ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਵੀ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੈ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਵੀ ਦੇ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਨੂੰ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਰੱਬੀ ਬਾਣੀ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹਨ ਮੁਸਲਮਾਨ ਫਕੀਰ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਕਲਮਾ ਕਹਿ ਕੇ ਵੀ ਬਿਆਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਆਪੋ ਆਪਣੀ ਜਵਾਨ ਅੰਦਰ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਉਸ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਦੇ ਨਾਮ ਰੱਖੇ ਹੈ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਉਹ ਗੁਰੂ ਤੇਰੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬੈਠਾ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਵੀ ਦੇ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ ਫਿਰ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗੇਗਾ ਕਿ ਇਸ ਦੇਹ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਕਿੱਡੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਛੁਪੀ ਹੋਈ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਇਸ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹਮਦਰਦੀ ਭਰੀ ਹੋਈ ਹੈ ਉੱਥੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਉਸ ਦੇ ਪੂਰੇ ਦਰਸ਼ਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਗਿਆਨ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਦਾ ਗਿਆਨ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ
He says that if you want to have the complete and real darshan of the Master, you collect your scattered thoughts with the help of the Simran and come to the eye center, come to the Tisra Dil. Over there you will know that how the Master, in which form the Master is present over there. And when you will remain still at the eye center, you will even know that He is present within you in the form of the sound. Guru Nanak Sahib calls the sound as the voice of God. The Muslim saints have also called that sound as the sound coming from above and the sound of God. I mean that all the Mahatmas of all different religions have called that sound as the sound of God. So he says that if you want to have the real darshan, you go in the within, come to the eye center and go in the within, and then you will have the knowledge of the glory and the importance of the Master. And then you will know that how much sympathy He has for you. We come to know about the power of the Master, power of the saint, only when we go in the eye, go in the within after reaching the eye center.
And that talk was given on May 1st, 1984 at Satpani Ashram in New Hampshire. Our closing bhajan is Kripal Yahi Sandesh Data on page 203. Kripal gave only this message, and even the wind also teaches us this. If you keep walking while doing the Simran, the destination comes to you by itself. The fort of deceit will be destroyed in this world because walls of sand do not last. There are so many sins with you. You're a great sinner. Hail the power of Almighty Kripal, who carries all the burden. No one is an enemy. No one belongs to anyone else. Everyone is your very own. For as the Gurbani teaches, all this world was created from one light. O Guru Kripal, the negative power trembles, and death also is nervous in front of whoever has caught hold of your finger. Ajayb says, apologize to Kripal if your soul wants happiness. Kripal gave only this message, and even the wind also teaches us this. If you keep walking while doing the Simran, the destination comes to you by itself. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 203.
Kripal Yahi Sandesha Deta Avayahi Sukalati He Simran Karte Chale Chalo To Manjil Kud Mil Jati He Kripal Yahi Sandesha Deta Avayahi Sikalati He Simran Karate Chale Chalo To Manjil Kud Mil Jati He Chala Fare Bake Kile Katina Duniya mein de jaate hai chala fare bake ki le katina duniya mein de jaate hai re to ki deewar der tak kabhi nahi tik paati hai re to ki deewar der tak kabhi nahi tik paati hai simran karte chale chalo to manjil khud mil jaati hai kripal yahi sandesh deta Avaya hi sikalati hai Simran karte chale chalo to Manjil kud mil jati hai Itne sare paap saath mein Itne sare paapi hai इतने सारे पाप साथ में, इतने सारे पापी है, किए पोथकता तेरी जे हो, सब कपार उठाती है, कृपाल ताकता तेरी जे हो, सब कपार उठाती है, सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल खुद मिल जाती है, कृपाल यही संदेश देता, अब यही सिखलाती है, सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल खुद मिल जाती है, ना कोई बेरी ना ही बिगाना, जो भी है सब अपना है, ना कोई बेरी ना ही बिगाना, जो भी है सब अपना है, एक नूर से सब जग उपजो, कुर्बानी बतलाती है, एक नूर से सब जग उपजो, गुरुबानी बतलाती है, सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल खुद मिल जाती है, कृपाल यही संदेश देता, अब यही सिखलाती है, सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल खुद मिल जाती है, गुरु कृपाल तुम्हारी उंगली थाम रखी है जिसने भी, गुरु कृपाल तुम्हारी उंगली थाम रखी है जिसने भी, उसके आगा काल कापता और मौत घबराती है, अचानक कृपाल तो मंगला माफी, अचानक कृपाल तो मंगला माफी, जे जिंदगी सुख चाहती है, सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल खुद मिल जाती है, कृपाल यही संदेश देता, अब यही सिखलाती है, सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल खुद मिल जाती है, the fort of deceit will be destroyed in this world because walls of sand do not last. There are so many sins with you. You are a great sinner. Hail the power of Almighty Kripal, who carries all the burden. No one is an enemy. No one belongs to anyone else. Everyone is your very own. For as the Gurbani teaches, all this world was created from one light. O Guru Kripal, the negative power trembles, and death also is nervous in front of whoever has caught hold of your finger. Ajayb says, apologize to Kripal if your soul wants happiness. Kripal gave only this message, and even the wind also teaches us this. If you keep walking while doing the Simran, the destination comes to you by itself. May God bless us all.